Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise, we can sing our first hymn.
Son, Jesus.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity in the undivided unity.
Because he has shown his mercy to us.
O Lord, our Lord,
how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength.
Yet you have made him a little lower. When I look at the heavens, the works of your fingers,
the moon and the stars that you have set in place.
Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings,
and crowned him with glory and honor.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity.
Let us give glory to him, because he has shown his mercy to us.
Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities, for you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
professional reading for this Sunday is in the sixth commandment. You shall not commit adultery. We should fear and love God so that we lead sexually pure and decent lives in what we say and do. And husband and wife love and honor each other. The central thought here is that God created us to live faithfully as male and female by respecting his purpose for sexual activity within the context of marriage. Is marriage between a man and a woman held in high regard today? Why or why not? We'd like you to read Genesis 2, verses 15-24. For what purpose did God create us male and female? As Christians, we cherish marriage as a union of our different yet complementary natures as male and female. How can I talk about marriage and sex in ways that reflect God's purposes for it? Question 65. What is marriage? Marriage was created by God as a lifelong union of a man and a woman for their mutual help and joy and for the procreation and nurturing of children. A man and a woman enter into marriage by the public promise to live faithfully together until death. Mark 10. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They shall no longer be two, but one flesh. But therefore, God has joined together, let not man separate. What is adultery? Adultery is unfaithfulness of a spouse who engages in or desires sexual intercourse with someone to whom he or she is not married. And they'd like you to read Matthew 19 to see that God intended marriage to be a permanent and spouses to be faithful. And then question 67. Does this commandment apply only to husbands and wives? No. The principle of sexual purity in this commandment applies to all human beings, whether married or not, and to all kinds of sexual desire and activity. Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Our Old Testament reading for Trinity Sunday is from the sixth chapter of Isaiah, beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. Let us confess our Christian faith today with the words of the Athanasian Creed in your bulletin.
Whoever will be saved before all things, it is necessary that any hold the Catholic faith, which faith except everyone who keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated, and one incomprehensible. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord. And yet not three lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say there be three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but received. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another, but the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal. So that all things, as is before said, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, is to be worshipped. He therefore, must thus think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe faithfully in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For thy faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man. God is the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man was the substance of his mother, born in the womb, perfect God and perfect man, unreasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ, one not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of persons. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give an account of their own works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the Catholic faith, which is that the man who believes faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved.
Our epistle reading for Trinity Sunday is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 33. O the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, in his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who was the first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise. Blessed are you, O Lord, in the firmament of heaven.
And greatly to be praised forever.
Blessed are you, O Lord, God of our fathers. And greatly to be praised and glorified forever.
By night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for we know that no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. You cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know of, and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Here endeth our gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and stood on the right
continue with our next hymn. Sermon is based on the gospel reading, and the theme is the nature of the Trinity is pure gospel. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now that God exists is self-evident. There are two natural reasons that you know that God exists. The creation and the conscience. You see, the creation declares to you that God exists. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork, writes David in Psalm 19. So if you see a building, you know that there was a builder. And when you see creation, you know that there is a creator. It's only great pride and arrogance that can deny this. That is why St. Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. The study of science should only then strengthen one's conviction that God actually exists. Dear saints in Christ, your conscience bears witness to you that God exists by convicting you and by accusing you when you do wrong. Only a fool can say in his heart that there is no God. Rather, the conscience of everyone bears witness that you have a creator and that you have a judge. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. Everyone knows that there is a God, whether he acknowledges it or not, unless he has so seared his conscience that his heart cannot acknowledge what is self-evident to all. Still, no one can know the true God except through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. No one can know that God is one and still is three persons unless the truth is revealed through the Word of God. And God's Word does reveal the Holy Trinity. Holy Scripture does not articulate the doctrine of the Trinity in concise, in dogmatic words as you hear in the creeds. Rather, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is taught throughout Scripture, that God is one. Still, there are distinct persons within the Godhead. This is taught from the very first pages of God's Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, you see, God's Word teaches that God is three in one by teaching that there is one God. However, also presenting distinct persons, who though they are distinct from God, are God. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters is distinct from God. Nevertheless, no one can doubt that he is God. God said. This doesn't simply mean that God spoke. This reveals that God created with the Word. St. John begins his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So in the very first verses of Genesis, God is introduced as three persons, yet one God. And this doctrine is taught in all of Scripture. The psalmist proclaims, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the Spirit of his mouth, all their host. By the word, that is, by the Son of God, the heavens were made, and by the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father, all their hosts. You see, God creates and God sustains the universe through and in the Son and the Holy Spirit. As the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Son of God, that is, the Word, is presented to you throughout the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord, as his name makes clear, is distinct person from sent from God. He's God's messenger. That's what angel means. Messenger. Nevertheless, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah and his wife, the parents of Samson, the text called the angel of the Lord God. The angel of the Lord is the Lord. He is distinct from the Lord, and nevertheless, he is one with the Lord. And the text from John 3 does the same thing. Nicodemus tells Jesus, "We know that you are a teacher come from God." So Jesus is distinct from God the Father. However, Jesus later asserts in John's Gospel, "I and the Father are one." You see, absolutely nothing reveals the nature of the Holy Trinity as purely as the Gospel. Because the Gospel is the greatest work of the Holy Trinity. Because God is love. God loved the world in this way, that he sent his only begotten Son. Who is the only begotten Son? He is the Son of Man, who has descended from heaven, who is still in heaven by virtue of his divine nature. He has become the Son of Man. And not only a man, but he took on the very form of your curse. And like the cursed bronze serpent in the wilderness, which bore the image of the snakes, which were biting the people and causing their death, the Son of Man was lifted up on a cross, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Son is distinct from the Father. The Father sends the Son. The Son does not send the Father. The Son became man and suffered and died for your sins. The Father did not become man, nor did he suffer and die. Nevertheless, they are one God. Jesus says that unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Who is the Spirit? Jesus makes it clear that he is distinct from God. Nevertheless, it is also clear that the Spirit is God. As St. John writes, "But to all who did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Those who are born of the Spirit are born of God, the Spirit of God. The Gospel cannot be told without confessing the nature of the Trinity, that is, that God is one in three. The Father sends the Son to take on your human flesh and to suffer for your sins in your place. He raises his Son from the dead and accepts the sacrifice that's offered by his Son and justifies you for his sake. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit, who is God, to cause sinners to be born from above so that they may believe in Jesus and be saved. Nevertheless, this teaching cannot be found in nature by looking at creation, nor by following your conscience. The creation can tell you that you have a creator, and your conscience can tell you that you have a judge. But neither can tell you that God is three in one, who loves you and who sends his Son to redeem you and his Holy Spirit to sanctify you. This can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of the Gospel. This is why Nicodemus is so flabbergasted when Jesus tells him that one must be born from above to be saved. You see, Nicodemus is thinking in a human way, so that he is blind to the things of God. St. Paul explains in his first letter to the Christians in Corinth that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in the words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, Nicodemus was a teacher of Israel, and he did not understand these things. This is not a teaching comprehended by your human reasoning. It is taught to you by the Spirit of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, Jesus says. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Christians in Corinth, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And again in his letter to the Christians in Rome, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot gain the kingdom of God by your own reason. You cannot gain the kingdom of God by your own merits. You cannot gain the kingdom of God by your own works or by your own strength. You cannot believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to him by your own reason. You cannot comprehend the gospel or the Trinity by your human wisdom unless you are born from above by the Spirit. You cannot be saved. All who are born of the flesh are children of the wrath and are doomed to hell unless God saves them by grace. When Jesus says that unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, he is saying that unless one is baptized, he cannot be saved. He is speaking of baptism. Baptism is water joined to the word of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to you through Jesus' word. St. Peter promises that you will receive the Holy Spirit in baptism in Acts. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove. The Holy Spirit comes to all who are baptized through water and the word. Now, so many will protest, but God can save a person without baptism. A person can be born again by the Spirit without baptism. And technically this is true. God can send his Holy Spirit without the water to cause a person to be born from above and be saved. Baptism does not limit God's capabilities. But the fact remains that unless you are born from above by the Spirit, you cannot be saved. And Jesus promises you rebirth by the Holy Spirit in baptism. If Jesus opens a door for you, do not reject him and say that you can get through the window just fine. Rejecting baptism is rejecting Jesus and the Holy Spirit he offers in it. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. This means that the Holy Spirit creates faith where and when it pleases God. You cannot blame God for your unbelief or the unbelief of others. The fact that some are baptized, however, and reject the faith is not the fault of baptism or the Spirit, just as the fact that some reject the preaching of the gospel is not the gospel or God's fault. Dear saints in Christ, you must humble yourself concerning your hidden capabilities to know and please God. You must not be arrogant and judge the doctrine of the Trinity or whether water baptism can grant rebirth. Rather, you should meekly receive the Spirit as Scripture says, as he is given in baptism, and has given in the preaching of the gospel. And thank God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that He has revealed Himself to you in the gospel, your sinful flesh, which drives you to sexual immorality, which drives you to impurity and sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity and strife, jealousy and fits of anger, envy and drunkenness, is the same sinful flesh that resists the Holy Spirit and makes you think that you are too smart to believe the gospel. So you must daily crucify your sinful flesh by repenting of your sins of pride, your sins of arrogance. And then as a newborn infant of God, receive the Word of God as spiritual milk in baptism. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has been placed upon you. This means that you have been born from above, that you know the Holy Trinity. And to know the Holy Trinity is to have life eternal. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Lord of hosts, your ways are inscrutable and your judgments unsearchable. Through your word, give us ever-growing understanding of the depths of your riches, wisdom, and knowledge, that we may glorify you forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your Son, Jesus, came to teach us the way of truth. Sustain all pastors in the sacred calling. Give them patience to teach the faith to all who question the way of salvation. Raise up teachers of righteousness in every generation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, as you have delivered us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of your Son, help us to walk in a manner worthy of him. Bless the four committees who prepare the work of our Synod Convention, that all they decide may be guided by your word and undertaken in prayer, and that your good and gracious will be done among us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, you have established marriage and sanctified the home to be a place of blessing and love. Give to parent and child the courage to love as you have loved us. Unite them in their common life by your Spirit to know Jesus and serve him. Bless the single with chastity, comfort the widowed, protect the orphan, and defend the helpless. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, you are enthroned as King forever. Bless Donald and all who rule over us in your stead with wisdom and understanding, that truth and justice may prevail in our land and lawlessness may be kept at bay. Watch over, guard, and keep our service men and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Dylan, Rebecca, Aiden, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, uphold Robin, Carol, Steve, Kathy, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Lisa, Robin, Deb, Mary, Shirley, Billy, and Carol, and all who suffer in our midst by your truth. But since you are at the right hand, they cannot be shaken. Gladden their hearts, cause their tongues to rejoice, and make their flesh dwell in hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless David, Carol, George, Julie, and Bob, continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, Nicodemus was led by the word of Jesus to the cross. From the cross he received the body of Jesus. Grant us faith like his to trust your word and receive Christ's true body and blood in the holy sacrament for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we poor sinners confess that in our flesh dwells no good thing. If we are left to ourselves, we will die in sin, since that is which we are born of, flesh is flesh, cannot see the kingdom of God. Grant us, we implore you, by your grace and mercy, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to regenerate us, that we may firmly believe the forgiveness of sins according to your promise in baptism, in daily increasing Christian love and good works, until at last we obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with hymn 307.
Take love, who are ye of God?
service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord, in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Have mercy upon us.
eat, which is the true body of the risen Lord and the ascended Savior, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. They eat the true body of Christ. Take, drink. This is the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be strengthened and preserving body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Christ Jesus, send us to our soul, prompted. given to death for your sin.
Yeah.
the true blood of Christ. Take, drink the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
By this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We're going to ask for a blessing for the meal that is prepared for us. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Lord God, bless us and these your gifts in which we are about to receive from your bountiful goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus,
be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen.
Oh, thanks to thee,
Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Oh,